illumination to the whole room. In the same way, that's how you're destined to live as Christians. So much for personal faith, right? Oh, my faith's just personal. So personal that nobody knows about it. No, that's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to do what? Let's keep reading. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they would see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's a way we're to live that people look at our lives and say, man, there's something different about that. That's like God. That's kind of, it's otherworldly. It's life from another kingdom. Not good deeds in such a way without faith and a proclamation of Christ. See, that's why the Christian worldview and the gospel teaches us that it must be lived and it must be preached. Are you with me? It's about deeds and it's about the spoken word of what is true. You must have both. Because without both, the good deeds, who gets the glory in it? The humans. But we've got to put a context to why it is we do what it is that we do. Because there's a Father in heaven. I don't do good deeds because, man, I'm some righteous person in and of myself. No. The only reason I do good deeds is because Jesus changed my heart and now I'm living for him. Are you with me? Have you ever evaluated your life before Christ? Every motive, everything I ever did was always about me. Me. Every good deed, every intention was ultimately, if you traced it back to the root of why I was doing it, it was for my glory. God changes us so that we would live for his glory. All right? We're called to be salt and light. Here's the formula. Are you with me? It's high potency. Only high potency. Okay? Plus close proximity. Plus clear communication will equal maximum impact. Our salt better be salty. It better be potent. High potency, close proximity. We're to live in such a way that we build relationship with people, that they get to observe our life. Then we must clearly communicate what it is that we believe. Clearly communicate this gospel. I went to a funeral this week, and it was a Baptist preacher that was facilitating it, and I left there, and one thing I so appreciate about my Baptist brothers is they can present the gospel. Man, you leave there no doubt who is Lord, how you receive him, why you need to receive him, and the consequences for not receiving him. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, they could present the gospel. Man, there's a problem with the world. It's sin. What does that sin do? It separates us from God. There's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to remove our sin from us. That's why we needed a sacrifice from Jesus to take our place, to wash us free of our sins. And when we believe that by faith, he becomes our substitution. And ultimately, our salvation, our Savior forever. We got to be able to clearly communicate, show somebody's need, show somebody the need of why it is they need Christ. High potency plus close proximity plus clear communication equals maximum impact. Think about our world today. And you know, it's so easy to get discouraged, isn't it? We can think about Ferguson, Missouri, and the shooting of Michael Brown and the tension that that creates, and then the news covering it. And it can just discourage us to at one time think, maybe we've come so far as an example of being able in America to elect a black president. And then all of a sudden, incidents like that happen, and we realize maybe we haven't come as far as we think in reconciliation, in healing. And it can discourage us, can it? We look at what's happening over in the Middle East, seeing people losing their lives, persecuted, tormented, murdered for their faith, and at times feel so helpless, sitting over here in our comfort in America, it can be discouraging, can it? And the danger is when we become discouraged, we lose hope. We lose faith. We begin to live life from a perspective of fear. We were at the beach this weekend with the grandparents, and Cindy's mom does not swim well and has a fear of the water, and our three boys were playing like 3 feet out in the ocean, and she was like, "Where are they?" You know, she had a fear, a panic attack. She goes, "I can't stay. I can't be here any longer." I had to drive her back to the hotel room in the golf cart. But the spirit of fear just got all over and began to allow her to see things out of this fear and this danger. We're like, "They're right there. They're okay. Everything's all right. Relax. We're on vacation. Have fun." The spirit of fear began to manifest. God wants us to have a different perspective, to never lose sight that He is the one who's in control. He is providential. He is sovereign. He is the ruler of the universe. And ultimately, His will be done. And everything, ultimately, whether we can understand it in this moment, is working out for His good and for His glory. Yes, it is. And we need that perspective. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness." You know, as I listened to Preston preach last Sunday and just talking about the reality, when he used that court case as an example, that Christians are the majority in our country, but why out of that do we have such minimal influence? Because when we stand divided instead of united, when we don't get proactive in being offensive, not offensive in like turning someone off to our face, but offensive in that we're proactive, going out, doing the will of God, going to the world, preaching the gospel, ministering to people. When we don't lose that, we lose our impact. So I look at it and I go, gosh, we've got God on our side, the Holy Spirit, and why? Why can one person with one little voice make such traction in our country today? Where are the people of God? Where are we? Where are we today? Anytime we see institutions begin to change in such a way that they're unfriendly to God and unfriendly towards His principles. I mean, let's think about the marketplace for a second. Really? You want unchristian people working for you? Really? Because the only result is to lie, steal, and cheat. They're going to lie. They're going to lie. They're going to steal from you. Like 90% of employees they found, they lie, they steal, they cheat. I mean, Preston talked about the lying epidemic in our country today. Really? Man, if I'm hiring, I want somebody who is governed from above, who has self-control in them, the Holy Spirit, wakening their conscience to what is right and wrong. Hello? Really, are we a better place without God? Are we a better place without the Holy Spirit? Are we a better place without the truth of His principles? Absolutely, we are not. What exalts a nation, Psalm says? Righteousness. Righteousness is the only thing that exalts a nation, right? And so when you look out there and go, we're destined to make maximum impact. We're destined to subdue and rule the earth. We're destined to be the people that set culture, that be light in the midst of darkness. Light wins. Are you with me? We are people destined to be that. How come we're not? We lose perspective. And in that, I don't believe we're filled with the Holy Spirit the way that God wants to fill us. So we're going to look at a few scriptures and get back to normal Christianity. I'm talking about a joy, a perspective that comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our what? It's our strength. It's our strength. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, we see things the way that God sees them. We see people the way that He sees them. We don't look at them judgmental and in hatred. We look at them with love. When something negative happens, we can see how to turn it into a positive. Where there's hurt, we can bring healing. Where there's unforgiveness, we can bring forgiveness. Where there's been brokenness and division and strife, we can bring reconciliation. It's our destiny. You know, so many of us look for just happiness. We just want a happy life. But happiness and joy are totally different. Happiness comes and goes, but joy comes and stays. Happiness is determined by our circumstances. Joy depends on our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Your happiness can be taken away by your circumstances, but your joy can never be taken away because it comes from the Lord. When we walk around with the wrong perspective, when we walk around not powerful, why? It's because simply we're just not filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled. We need to live life full of God's Spirit, independent of life circumstances, rising above them, being who God's called us to be. I had a great revelation this week. You ever get revelations in the middle of your day? Simplest of activities that are pretty cool. I had one of those moments. It was at Titus Sports Academy, and I was watching my sons do sprint training with Garfield Ellenwood, Garfield is qualified. He trains Olympic sprinters, gold medalist sprinters. You with me? He's in our church, qualified guy like that to do sprint training. Well, there was a guy who came in and, you know, probably 6'4", taller than me, and very athletic looking, and he was over there warming up, doing all his warm-ups, and then he started doing his running form, and I watched him. I was like, man, that guy looks funny. That guy looks so funny, and Adam came over to me, and he goes, hey, Olympic gold medalist right there. I go, man, he runs funny. Then I began watching all the other people that he trains, and I kept looking at them all and going, they run so funny. They run so awkward. They run so weird. Then all of a sudden, a revelation hit me. You with me? You following me? A revelation hit me. I realized, wait, they're running right. I go, everybody else I've been watching all my life is running wrong. I go, I need to change my mind. I need to renew it. I need to get transformed. That's not the right way to run. That's the right way to run. See, that's what happens when we look in the Word. We get so conditioned by how the world lives, we think this is normal Christianity just to be defeated. No, it's not. We need to see it from a different perspective and realize, wait, there's a right way to do this thing, man. Life's to be lived with joy and peace and love and faithfulness and endurance and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? There's a right way to live this gospel, and we haven't been doing it. We need some form training. All right, Acts chapter 16, you're not believing me. Maybe you'll believe the Bible. Here, Apostle Paul in prison. Let's read about his circumstance and see how he responded. Verse 22 through 25, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Are you with me? Stripped and beaten with rods. You're not going to have, don't worry, your week won't be that bad. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. That's the kind of perspective I'm talking about. Persecuted, severely flogged, thrown into prison, and what happens? Right in the middle of a tough day, a negative circumstance, they begin to sing hymns and they begin to praise God. See, they didn't have happiness. They had joy that wasn't based upon their circumstance. It was based on the reality that doesn't matter what you do to me, doesn't matter where I am today, I will praise him because he's worthy. See, here's the truth of it. You know, we get all upset, and rightfully so, of what happens to the Christians tortured and murdered in the Middle East. But let me tell you, there's an envy in my heart because they've got an eternal reward that we will never know. Oh, we get so happy in our little trophies we have here, temporal on earth, that collect dust and fade away. Let me tell you, those saints, precious are the blood of the saints and the martyrs. They've got an award in heaven and all of eternity that we'll admire forever. And when we look at life from that perspective, we go, man, maybe they're the ones that are heroes. Maybe they're the ones that are really living life. Man, we think life's all about enjoying the next football game or getting the next material thing in life. No, life for Apostle Paul was making sure that the life was being made known. And no matter what it meant to him, the greatest honor was the fact that maybe somebody would beat me because I'm representing my Lord Jesus. It was a different perspective. All of them had it. All of them got filled with the Holy Spirit. James, Peter, John, Paul. There was a similar manifestation. James 1:2, consider it what? Pure joy, my friends, when what? Everything in life's going right? No, consider it pure joys, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of various kinds, knowing something, that in the midst of this difficulty and circumstance, that's not what you focus on. It's not about being happy. It's about being joyful. Something's happening. There's a maturity. There's a perfecting that's going on in you. The suffering is developing something in you that you need of character and honor so that my glory will be seen. Have a perspective and be joy that I'm going through this process, because when I come out of it with the right attitude, I'm going to be more like Jesus. Yeah. Consider it pure joy. Yeah. Consider it pure joy. Yeah. Where's that faith? That was James. How about Peter writing to the persecuted church all throughout the world, trying to encourage them of the great promises they have in Jesus Christ? Are you with me? Then he says this, in this you greatly rejoice. Are you with me? You greatly rejoice that thou, though now you've had to, for a little while, suffer in grief and all kinds of trials. You greatly rejoice. Why? Because you've come to a place that God would consider actually worthy of honor, that you're mature enough to not operate out of fear, to not operate out of the circumstances of the day, to not operate out of what the world tells you, not the man-pleasing spirit. You've risen above that in the fact that now you're actually standing for truth, that you're being persecuted. Rejoice in it, because you're making a difference. Do you realize if you're not in the battle, if you're not in the fight, if there's not opposition, man, you are just, you're not in it. With me. Jesus never said, come follow me, I'm going to give you a comfortable life. He never said it. John 17, I mean, when it's all said and done, you know, he's getting ready to conclude, is kind of his final prayers before, you know, he's getting ready to go, you know, to the cross, and here it is, are you with me? I mean, it's all about getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and he goes, hey, in this world you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Huh? I mean, that is the Christian worldview. It's like, look here, who wants to get saved today? All right, great. You want to get, now, come on, here's the invitation. Thank God you get washed in the blood. Jesus does all that for you. You're clean. You get eternal life, all those great things. Great. Ooh, you're clean. Shower. You know the shower feel? Okay, for a second, get that shower for you. You just got out of the shower. You feel great, right? Now, here's what you've entered into. World War III. Welcome to the battle. Here we go. We're fighting devils and demonic strongholds and principalities. I mean, nothing in your life will ever be the same. You'll never walk through campus again. The same students, are you with me? I mean, every demon in hell will try to keep you in that first week from going forward in that commitment you made right here. I mean, I thought when I gave my life to Christ, everything would be easy. All hell broke loose. Everything from that moment in life got hard, and I realized, oh, there's a lot of character development that Jesus wants to do in my life. See, let me tell you something. After 24 years, are you with me? Let me tell you something. My faith means something to me. You know what? Because it's cost me something. I've lost roommates. I've lost friends. I've had lonely nights. I remember when I began to serve Jesus, my good friend who was just an antagonistic, mocking God, hating him, he played at the University of Florida. We were both seniors. I began to serve Jesus my senior year. I break my ankle, sit at the end of the bench, and don't get any glory or honor for the name of Jesus. And my best friend who's mocking God, sinning, partying, hooking up with girls, he gets the homecoming queen, and he gets the championship of the SEC. and I'm sitting in my apartment with my cast up like this, just all feeling bad about myself, and he's praying around the field after the game with the trophy, and I'm going, what's going on here, Jesus? I'm serving you. I'm serving you. What's going on? Like, what's messed up here? And he said, welcome to the real Christian life. Are you going to serve me or not? That's how I came into the kingdom. Mr. Lonely Guy. Mr. Lonely Guy. And after 24 years, now they look at me and go, you did it. You made it. You persevered. You're still serving him. And all those people who are chasing the world, they call me now and say, can you help me with my life? Can you help me with my marriage? How do I raise my kids? Man, I've got everything I ever pursued, and I'm still empty on the inside. Is there anything else to live for? Yes, there is. But I learned that with a broken leg and lonely in cash hall apartments, asking God, is this the Christian life? Happens every Sunday. 1 Peter 1:8. How about this? This is what I want us to know. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You're filled with what? An inexpressible and glorious joy. When he's writing to persecuted people there, though you don't see him, you know him, you love him. And you're filled with something. It's a glorious and inexpressible joy. Oh, the honor of serving the King. How about in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's poured out, right? The church's birth. The power of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. And the community of people began to draw other people, and there was multitudes getting saved. It was an amazing, amazing experience. And listen to what it says in Acts 2:46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Glad and sincere hearts. Two supernatural results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. One, it makes you appreciate the things that are really valuable. It makes you appreciate the things in life that are really valuable. Think of all the things that we value that have no eternal merit. Number two, keeps us possessing the right perspective. Over and over and over again, we see that the apostles had a joy, they had a perspective, they valued what was right. In times of persecution, in times when it defied rational explanation, let's look here at Acts chapter 5. Oh, I love this one. Acts chapter 5. They're going out, living the real Christian life. They're stirring up controversy because idols are being torn down. Demonic spirits are coming out of people. Others are coming to get saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maximum impact. Are you with me? Highly potent, close proximity with people, clearly communicating the gospel, maximum impact in these cities. Folks are getting saved and everything's changing. Demonic spirits used to gain money from people are being cast out, and just there's an uproar and people aren't liking it. So they go and approach the Sanhedrin and the other ones, and they're like, man, throw these guys in jail. Beat them. Get them out of here. Stop them from preaching this gospel. They put him in prison, and angels of the Lord would show up and get him out. See, if we want to experience the supernatural power of God, we have to be obedient to what he says to do. Supernatural power of God does not flow in our comfort. Never. Never, ever does it flow in our comfort. It only flows when we go out, put ourselves in a situation where, oh my God, we got to trust in the Lord and the Holy Spirit to do something. Like, we only want to witness if we think we know all the answers. I mean, give me a break. You don't know all the answers. Where's the reliance upon the Holy Ghost? Study, get knowledge. Man, know how to articulate the gospel, communicate, develop your biblical worldview. But man, sooner or later, we prepare like there is no Holy Spirit, but we go out and minister and preach with total reliance upon him. It ain't about you anymore. Step into an environment with the Holy Ghost on you. All right, here we go. Verse 27, the apostles were brought in. They were made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Come on, church. I mean, we're more fearful of the government than we are of God today. I mean, we're more obedient to pay our taxes than we are our tithes. I mean, we bow down to man. I'm going to pay my taxes because of what man can do. What about eternity, man? Where's your eternal reward in heaven? Store up treasures in heaven. I mean, one of the curses that come upon the land, as we know, read Malachi, it's broken families and robbing God in tithes. I mean, that's where the curse comes. We must obey God rather than human beings. See, that's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you in power, that's all you care about, is pleasing God more than anything else. Look at this. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. See, it's out of love that you rightly present the gospel to people. Hey, I love you, but let me tell you something. It's your sin that put Jesus on the cross. See, all life began to change for me when I had a good friend step in and confront my life. It all began to change when he made me stop and think. I thought I was a good guy, but it all changed one day when he told me that everything I was doing was sin and that God was offended and he wasn't pleased with my life. And you know what? We weren't friends then. I didn't like him anymore. But you know what? I went home and I didn't sleep very well either, and I thought about it. And one day I picked up my old Catholic Bible. I mean, it takes 10 men to carry it, and it had all the Coke can stains on it, you know, and picked it up, and I began to read about Jesus, and I went, uh-oh, if he's right, I'm in big trouble. But my friend, under the power of the Holy Ghost, began to challenge my life. And it was a revelation of the consequence of my sin that began to change my life. God exalted him to his own right hand. Look at him, preaching as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance, the forgiveness of sins. We're witnesses of these things, so that the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Look, come on, parents, we know this in raising our kids. There's just some things they just got to learn the hard way. It's just life. Look, I wish I could tell you that, like, this is going to be easy and that the world's going to change for the better. The only way it's going to change is if we're willing to step out and be persecuted, not be liked, be confrontational in the right way. That's the only way. There is no other way. Are you with me? It's not like we can just sit and pray for utopia and this. One day, everyone with like the exact opposite thoughts and worldviews and people all of a sudden just somehow come to this place of unity and agree and all get along. Nope, never will happen. It's the power of the Holy Ghost showing up through his obedient people. Let's look here. down to verse 37. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census, led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in this present case, what begins to happen here is one of the leaders begins to just go, look, these dudes are serious about what they believe in. They're for real. They're not like this other guy who led a revolt and it was kind of squashed and just went away. These guys are real. There's something different in their lives. They pray for blind people and they see. They walk in the city. And they pray. And things we've never seen come out of people. They're different. I don't know. But they seem beyond human to me. Like Rocky II, I love it. Apollo's manager was going, man, why do you want to fight him again? And just in his pride, he just wanted to, you know, insecurity, his identity, all in him as a boxer. Why? Because he's no good for us, champ. Let him go. Let him go. There's something different in that man. He's not going to stop until he keeps. They realize, man, there's something different here. Verse 38, therefore I present this case and I advise you, leave these men alone. You know why the world picks on us? Because it thinks it can. Because it thinks we'll just go back to our Sunday services and hide and let them take over. It's time for us to remind that we were the ones created to rule the world. Hey, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activities of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you're not going to be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourself fighting against God. That's the church I want to be a part of. Who steps out knowing we're in the power of the Holy Ghost, in obedience to His will, motivated and compelled by His love, God fights for us. After the meeting, they left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had counted it worthy to suffer disgrace for the name that's above every name. Praise and worship team. Up, would you please? I want us to end singing more Holy Spirit. Look at this, verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they what? They never stopped teaching, preaching the good news of Jesus, the Messiah. Why in America today does persecution silence us when in the Bible it made them speak louder? Why? Why? Because you know why? We need more Holy Spirit in our lives. I'll conclude with this. Coach Bowden's coming out with his book, The Wisdom of Faith. It's out. Saw an interview with him on Fox and Friends. I love Coach Bowden. All-time winningest coach at college football. I love him. Love to see him in the latter stages of his life preaching the gospel. It's what he lives for. It's what he always lived for, but especially now. And he said, look, all the games and victories don't mean anything to me unless all of my family one day is an attorney with me. I will have considered myself a failure. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck was asking him a question with the new rulings coming out on university campuses about not being able to have chaplains and stuff like that. I said, Coach Bowden, how did you navigate through all that? He said, I did it anyway. exact quote. He said, I don't care about political correctness. I care about spiritual correctness. He did it anyway. See, we're called to obey God more than we are called to obey men. And you know, it's getting difficult to be a Christian in America today only for one reason, because we've given ground up to the enemy. It's time to go take it. We need more Holy Spirit. Stand with me if you would. Raise your hand for me if you know you're not in a right relationship with God. You'd like prayer this morning to get in a right relationship with Him. Would you come forward? God bless you. Come on, come forward. I want to pray with you real quick. Holy Spirit's here. This is time. Come on. Come on forward, my man. Come on forward. Come on. There's others out there, life group leaders, elders. Come on. This is your time. This is your time. Who else? You know you're not in a right relationship with Jesus. It's time to get right with Him. Come on forward this morning. I want the rest of us, lift your hands if you want more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray as we sing this song, more than just a song, Lord, it's a heart cry of desperation. One of the ways we're filled with the Holy Spirit is simply by asking. Acts chapter 4, Lord, they prayed and you filled them with the Holy Spirit. They went out and spoke the word of God boldly, Lord. Lord, as we sing this song, more than just a proclamation of words, Lord, it's a prayer that we ask. More Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, that as we live during the week, God, what would come from our lives is the good news about Jesus the Messiah. The good news about Jesus the Messiah, Lord. Baptize us, empower us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Overtake.
Thank you. not about me.
It's not about me.
Father, we thank you. Increase in our life, Jesus. More Holy Spirit in us, Lord. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, the perspective that comes from that Holy Spirit, the values that come from it, Lord, the witness that comes from it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. Thank you for it. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. If you need prayer, we're going to stay up here and pray for you. If you just want a prayer for more Holy Spirit, come forward. We want to pray with you. I'm going to stay right here. Don't leave here without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. God bless you.